22:13. Thought. Satori. Daedalus and the maze he built and got into and couldn't get out of again at Crete. Myth of our world, its creation, and us. My dream about the elevator. The poem recited. The plate of spaghetti and the trident. Palace of Minos and the maze. Clue to our situation? Well then, in my writing I figured it out. It was an intellectual, not moral error. This would explain the technology. Heaviside layer, pink beam of light, etc., the melting. My books and stories are intellectual conceptual mazes. I am in an intellectual maze trying to figure out our situation, who we are, and how we got into this world, and world as illusion, etc., because the situation is a maze leading back to itself and false clues show up, such as our rebellion. There is something circular about our situation, especially involving our occlusion. By our efforts, we can't think our way out, i.e. get out, reverse the original intellectual error. Paradox is involved now. This is the clue. The occlusion would then be a function of the maze, its internalization. Perhaps we created the maze, occluded ourselves, and entered it to pose ourselves a problem, like working out a chess problem. But what is Zebra? 1. A mind outside the maze helping us. 2. A device we built ourselves to assist us if we get hopelessly trapped. 3. The mind of the maze itself. The maze is alive. Satori. We wanted to see if we could create a convincing world, Ape of God. But we had to be sure we could get back out if it seemed convincing. The irony is that if we were successful, if our world were convincing, we would be trapped by it. Then we must have hoped it would be convincing, and we would therefore find it real and hence be trapped. But we could not take the risk of this situation being endless. We had to build in the reminding voice, which we now regard as God, and rightly so, since it is transcendent to world. God is the sole true reality, in contrast to our irreal world, and the sole thing breaking in from outside. Like in Ubik, everything else we experience is part of the irreality of this delusional world. This is why it is a low murmuring voice, and not close nor loud. My personal escape may be due to intellectual reasons, since our fall was originally an intellectual error, so to speak, a test we were running to see if our world was convincing. We were playing with fire, as the saying goes, seeing if we could construct an irreal world, counterfeit, which would fool even its fabricators, the supreme test. Our nemesis was to be successful and hence, by definition, fall victim to it. This shows up in Stigmata, in the taking of Eldritch's drug, and in Maze, in plunging voluntarily into the polyencephalic fusion. But the Persis 9 on their arms served to remind them. In Maze, they asked the Tench what the words Persis 9 mean, and the Tench blows up, revealing itself to be not an organism, but an electronic computer. And then the whole landscape comes apart. This was their prearranged bailout route. Eventually, they were bound to hit on it, and finally the building itself, Valhalla, disintegrates. They all grow old, i.e., the gods grow old. They are gods. Note. Dick was a passionate, intelligent, and deeply knowledgeable fan of classical, romantic, and early music. With Bach, Beethoven, and Linda Ronstadt, Dick's most important musical touchstone in the exegesis is Richard Wagner, 1813 to 1883. Mostly, Dick references Parsifal, Wagner's final and most religious opera, which pairs an aestheticized sense of Christian ritual redemption with a world-denying Schopenhauerian view of Buddhism. In Valis and the Exegesis, Dick quotes Gurnemanz, a wise knight who enigmatically describes the environs of the Grail Castle to the holy fool Parsifal. "Here, my son, time turns into space." But Dick's imagination was also shaped by Wagner's four-opera Ring cycle, which, after all, features semi-divine and incestuous twins, the disastrous forgetting of true identity, and a profound meditation on freedom and fate. Perhaps the most important thing Dick readers can learn from Wagner, however, is the dynamics of the leitmotif, the recurrent musical phrases that Wagner used to invoke characters, objects, and ideas. The persistent archetypes of Dick's fiction, as well as the author's endlessly rehashed metaphysical concerns in the Exegesis, unfold through the repetition, transformation, and recombination of such familiar elements. Just as Wagner philosophized through music, Dick philosophized through fiction, and, in the Exegesis, made philosophy a kind of transcendent punk rock machine music, repetitive, incessant, sometimes hysterically romantic, but also a work that can be appreciated not as rigorous argument, but as a flowing pattern, a variation, affect, rhythm, and return. E.D. End note. A careful deconstruction, comparison with Wagner's Ring, shows that 1. They built the building, which is to say everything. 2. They are the gods themselves. Only the intercessor comes in from the outside, even into their ship, the Persis Nine. "But we made you up." Wrong. He really exists, adventitious to their spurious, i.e. self-generated world, which they entered and which fools them. Then in essence, 1. I became aware of world as irreal, i.e. a maze, and 2. Through God's help, found my way out of the maze, and 3. Realized what I had done. I am now free at last. One by one, he is drawing us out of this world. The only thing which is real is that which comes in from outside, i.e. God, or Zebra and the AI voice, not part of this irreal world. This is why it sounds so far off. Martians come in clouds. The eyes have it. Beyond the door, withered apples, not by its cover. Note. Though Dick generally refers to his more recent novels in the Exegesis, here he offers a list of short stories from the 1950s, with the exception of 1968's Not by Its Cover. End note. Since the totality is a hologram, each microbit contains the plan or form of the macro. This plan or form is what is meant by the logos. 2218. The novel Maze gives clues to what Zebra is, the computer Tench aboard the Persis Nine. Zebra is this very computer, actually lying outside the polyencephalic fusion world, speaking from far off to us in here. But it is here, in camouflaged form. Yet, there really is no here. We are stationary, back there as in Ubik, etc. Zebra interprets the dream with its low murmuring voice, a voice not in the dream, a voice from the awake world. 2122. Summary. Zebra is the intrusion of the real world into the irreal, as in Ubik, and our only contact with the real, the narrow gate to the real, i.e., to God. As I figured out a long time ago, Zebra is an invader into our irreal world, modulating it and us into info carriers, with the ultimate purpose of extricating us from the lost condition we have gotten ourselves in, by the means of reversing our condition of ignorance through information, knowledge. The power of this irreal world or maze over us is expressed in the concept astral determinism, or Maya, the coercive power of delusion. Hence, I say, our original error was intellectual, not moral. But in a sense, we did rebel by creating this counterfeit reality, which we then fell victim to, inasmuch as we overestimated our ability to deal with it. The above paragraph expresses a cosmogony and cosmology. All that is needed to make it complete is, 1. To consider the cross-bonding with zebra which restores us, and 2. The nature of true reality, a macro-brain or nous, the thinking ground of being not included in this irreal world except for its macro-form, zebra, sent here by the macro-nous to rescue us. 22.24. It is the nature of the maze, which is quasi-alive, to thwart knowledge. Maze and knowledge are antithetical. Also, maze and reality are antithetical. Out of this I derive, knowledge and reality are interrelated. So we can't expect the active deceptivity of the maze to interfere with our ability to know, which means that it will perpetually occlude us in every way possible. Scanner. Further, that we are occluded will be a fact occluded off from us, which is the core insight in Scanner, and why Scanner is so valuable in the presentation of our total actual situation. Yaldabaoth is the quasi-mind of the maze, not its creator, since in fact it does not really exist. It is a condition or state we've been put in, not a world or place at all. All it really consists of is info fired by the two info processing sources. The quasi-mind of the maze is as if insane, senselessly generating and destroying. It is like a wizard generating illusion upon illusion, which shift and change constantly, thus giving rise to the spurious impression of the passage of time. It is the plan of the maze to establish and maintain disorder, because out of disorder arises the senseless, a condition which promotes intellectual confusion on our part, which aids in defeating our attempt to understand, which is to say, possess knowledge, the essential thing we must have if we are to triumph over the maze. Thus, maze equals disorder, or antinosis. No system of thought derived through our senses, or a priori, is going to be correct due to the calculated noise or inexplicability generated by the maze. Only revealed gnosis emanating from outside the maze, i.e. by, through, zebra, will be of any use. What is required of us is that we abandon both our reasoning power as occluded or impaired and our percept system results, likewise, and try to hear the low murmuring voice from outside the maze. This requires the ordeal of terror and destruction of our false self, the collapse of hypostatization in the emergency condition of the near-death crisis, which causes the firing of GABA-blocked metacircuits. Outward explicability and inner occlusion are the twin weapons of the maze. That process, which makes no sense, is fed to that percept and cognitive system, which is, unknown to itself, impaired. The result is hopeless confusion, the antithesis of gnosis. You have a deliberately damaged mind trying hopelessly to make sense out of a reality and process which adds up to nothing anyhow. A lethal combination, but quite in keeping with the purpose and nature of the maze and its quasi-mind. This is why we should speak of it as a maze, and a good one. Every hypostasis, intellectual or moral, is doomed to prove a failure. Events will defeat it and expose its inaccuracy. Even nihilism and pessimism don't always accurately depict the real situation. Calculated runs of moral and intellectual order are introduced to cause us to keep trying to make sense out of what we are compelled to live through. Irony and paradox abound, and a constant calculated frustration of expectation and hope, a purposeful ruin of plans. The maze's quasi-mind acts in a perverse way, but it is not malignant or malicious, just insane, which is to say irrational. This is why virtually every system of human thought simultaneously works and does not quite perfectly work. Until finally, you get into ultimate absurdities, as the theory alters the reality it describes, as stated in Tears, which, when you uncover this, you are faced with the obvious impossibility of ever correctly formulating a workable worldview, without knowing why you can't. Cornford points out that in Timaeus, Plato detected a quality or element of the irrational in the world's soul, Habacht. Note. German. Watch out. End note. Here is warning to us enough regarding our hypotheses.